And today we are going to be talking about the situation, America's Heroes Group Roundtable. We are globally connected with Kaiser Health News. Now, many of you know this is December 7th, of course, and December is AIDS Awareness Month. And I am, of course, the host. I want to mention again Cliff Kelly, executive producer. Glenda Smith is the executive producer and our digital media producer, doing a great job here in the studio, Manny Corazzari. And this is what I'm talking about, our topic. And we have a call-in guest on our line, Carl Anthony, who is Kaiser Health News Midwest correspondent. And she has done so much to KHN after serving as a multimedia reporter at the Belleville News Democrat. A native of East St. Louis, Illinois, she previously worked at the Indianapolis Star, the Frederick, Maryland News Post, and Daily Press, Newsport News, Virginia. Kara co-moderated USA Today network events during the 2016 election in her six-part Belleville News Democrat series titled Then I Knew About Racism in America, was nominated in 2018 for an Emmy. She is a graduate of Tennessee State University. Ms. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Cliff. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Try to get, okay, hopefully we have a problem here with the sound. We'll get it. And in our studio, we are so pleased to have many of you, of course, know him because he's one of our regular panelists when we have panel. He is Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. And Doc, how are you?
Doing great, Cliff. Really pleased, always honored to be in your presence. And I know you have done so much for all of us. I was recently at your semi-retirement party.
Because
I know you're going to be working. You have so much more to offer us. Yeah. But just really proud of you as a veteran, veteran to veteran. I honor you for what you do.
And I appreciate that. Yes. I want you to tell you a little bit about you. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I've worked at Blue Cross Blue Shield, former director for the Illinois Department of Public Health, and held that post for 4 years under mm-hmm. two governors, and did a lot of things in the community base, supporting community-based organizations, still working on initiatives in that realm mm-hmm. as we move forward with Blue Cross. Blue Shield. I'm not representing them on the station, but they are my employer currently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I
which fits into this
this
situation.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So that's great. Carl, tell us about this whole situation. It is so important what you are talking about relative to the circumstances with drug deals and food gone bad plague at corner stores. We're talking about neighbors, but some neighbors are fighting back, right?
Yeah, exactly. In southern Illinois, where I'm located, crime has really become a food access issue in East St. Louis and a neighboring community called Washington Park. And it's kind of one of those food access issues that's been hiding in plain sight for a lot of years, but residents are really starting to speak up because it's getting harder to find a safe place to buy milk. Oftentimes, people are outside of corner stores in our community, and they're just standing there, or, you know, there's even worse. There's a crime happening out front. There's a shooting. Just a number of things that are happening right outside of the front doors, a lot of violence, and people are having a hard time being able to go in and out of these places and feel safe and also feel like they can find the food that they need and purchase the food that they need. It's a real issue, Cliff.
So what is being done about this?
Well, residents are coming together, and they're working with food access advocates in East St. Louis, and they're really coming up with policy changes that they're presenting to their councilmen and their mayor in East St. Louis. They're asking for code changes. They want to put a cap on the number of liquor stores and corner stores that are in the area, because East St. Louis is a town of about 89 blocks, but we have 40 corner stores just about in the area. It's heavily saturated, and most of those corner stores are SNAP retailers, which means you can go and use your food stamps there. But it's a perplexing issue because it's hard to really access that food and find the food that people need. And so basically what they're proposing is that, you know, the police department and the mayor really find a way to make it safer and help improve the quality of the food that's inside of those stores. They also want to see signage changes. You know, a lot of corner stores are windowless. You cannot see what's going on inside, and then when you get in there, you can't see what's happening outside. And so just a number of things they want to see happen differently, and they're really working on it, Cliff. Hopefully they'll see those changes in 2020, according to some of the advocates that are right on the front lines.
Dr. Arnold, this is not a surprise to you.
No. You know, I think we've maybe had talked about this before, Cliff, in the past, is that, you know, when I look at these neighborhood grocery stores, sometimes because of the quality of the food, as she was saying, is so poor, I almost equate them with chemical warfare agents.
Wow.
That these chemicals are doing destruction to our bodies, our hearts, our minds, our kidneys. Some of them should not even be sold in our stores because of the contents that they have within them. Especially in poor communities, the poor quality foods are put on the shelves. Many times the foods are put on there with expiration dates are very, very imminent. They're very close, or they have actually passed the expiration date. Things like Flaming Hots and those things, chemicals that should never be put into our body are being sold in our food stores as quote-unquote nutrition, where they have zero nutritional value. So we really need to have a big push into that, into the communities. I know there's a big push for now for the programs for food stamps and those things that, you know, start offering things, and even in Walgreens over-the-counter, extending that over-counter allotment to fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
So we need to be really thinking about this in a different way.
You said in Walgreens.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I've seen that. You're right.
Yes,
talking about fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
Is anything like that, Cara? Hopefully.
Yeah, where I am in East St. Louis, there are definitely, you know, I mentioned the food access advocates on the ground here.
Right.
They
mm-hmm.
definitely try to go into the stores and, you know, really provide an education about refrigeration and, you know, really supply and demand and helping people, you know, make connections with folks that have food that they can put on the shelves. But it's a real challenge, Cliff. I mean, like really getting people to understand and get into the flow of also wanting to consistently purchase those things. You know, oftentimes a corner store owner might say, well, I don't offer that because people don't buy it. Well, that's not necessarily true, but certainly I guess if more people were to be purchasing those items, there might be more of an incentive there. But like the other panelists are saying, you know, it is an issue because oftentimes those foods that you find in the stores are junk food, candy, soda. But the access advocates in East St. Louis are saying, hey, wait a minute. People really do want something fresh to buy, and they want to be able to feed their families, and they want to be able to get in safely and go home and serve up a good meal.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this, too. Cara, this is the extreme, and we just appreciate you doing what you're doing. But there's also a drug problem, too, right?
Yeah. In East St. Louis, I spoke with the police department, and they were very forthright with me in saying that in the past, at least, they know that some corner store owners have worked in cahoots with drug dealers, whether that means that they've offered protection or they've offered money to be able to stand outside of the stores and to rule in front of the stores, which, again, it becomes an access barrier for residents who want to get in and out and purchase food for their family. It becomes a real – I know you have a big commitment to seniors. It becomes an issue for seniors in the community when they're trying to go in and out, especially if there's a bond that you don't know about that that's happening. And you're just, you know, a lot of people are confused about it. But in East St. Louis, it has kind of become the town's worst kept secret. I wrote that in my article that was published in USA Today. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know that this is happening, but few people know what a solution could look like.
And let me ask, and I read your article, which was excellent. The thing that gets me now is, of course, the first, you know, a few weeks from now, Carl, we're going to have the law passed relative to legal marijuana. Doctor?
Yes, because, you know, when I was at the IDPH, I was actually opposed to it passing initially. Mm-hmm. And the reason why wasn't so much for the issue surrounding its potential usage or its medicinal value. It was really around the laws that we have not come to grips with the legal system yet. And I did not want to see this thing being passed and then it being disparately impacting our communities. Mm-hmm. Because then it becomes a question of, well, you know, Johnny is okay if he smokes marijuana mm-hmm. at work, would it slap him on the wrist? But, you know, you know, a brother from the community or sister from the community, you're fired. You know, and plus the doctors who are actually distributing and giving this out, there's a discrepancy between state law and federal law still.
Yeah, I know.
So
that's very
careful.
It's still illegal, right?
It's still illegal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And actually, I was joking with one of my friends who's an attorney. He was standing on Roosevelt Road, and I was looking down the street, and I saw the medical marijuana dispensing center for the university there, and and then across the street was the Cook County Jail, and down the street was the FBI building. And I said, they have to know that each one of these places are existing here. They walk by them every day. So why aren't they closing them down if it's federally illegal?
So against it, right?
And the real thing I'm really afraid of, Cliff, is that once this thing passes on January 1st, the people who are gang members, people who are associated with cartels and all that, don't want to give up their turf. So if you think you're kind of walk in and take over the business side of everything, we're going to have potential for some social disruption in there.
Absolutely.
So we need to really fight for that. Yeah.
Carl, how do you feel about this whole thing?
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely something that Kaiser will be following because I'm in Illinois and our Midwest Bureau is so dedicated to covering all issues in the area. I mean, it will be really interesting to see what happens in the coming months and in the new year because, you know, as mentioned, for so many years, black men have been arrested and black women have been arrested for having small amounts of marijuana on them. And now to, you know, have this new law come about, I mean, it could totally change the dynamics in plenty of cities and towns across the state. And so it's one thing, Cliff, I will say that I'll definitely be following, especially in communities where you have seen high arrest rates that are connected to marijuana.
We're so pleased to have Carl Anthony, Kaiser Health News Midwest correspondent. We almost out of time. However, I got to give the call-in number if somebody wants to say something quickly. It's 312-374-8130. It's going to be you're going to be working, that's for sure.
But you know, one thing I want to say, Cliff, is that the you know, with the current administration we have in right now, that is the good thing that we have. We have a governor who is very positive, a lieutenant governor, and an attorney general who actually understand this problem and understand what are the solutions that we need to actually implement this. In prior administrations, we would have had a big problem.
Yeah. And our major thing is, of course, these problems with these people being unable to feed their children and so forth.
That's
what it is.
Yes.
And Carl, we've got some. I'm sort of familiar with East St. Louis. You've got a lot of people down there that don't need any more problems, do you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a town that calls itself a city of champions, but certainly it is that. But it also has faced so many economic and social challenges throughout the years the city definitely has work to do, Cliff.
Well, thank goodness for people like yourself, because you can certainly give us a closing statement, if you will, Cara.
Yeah, well, with this particular SNAP issue, you know, while East St. Louis has its challenges, and I am a former resident of the city. I grew up in the city. It's certainly refreshing to see people speaking up and out about an issue and for people to really raise their hand, even if they are afraid to do so. I had so many people who were afraid to even speak to me for this story because they feared retaliation, you know, just because there was such a stronghold there. And we talked about, you know, how people are working in cahoots with one another and drug rings and crime rings. But people are starting to move past all that. They really want to reclaim their community. And so just in closing, I think that that is refreshing to see, and I'm certainly here to report stories like that all over the Midwest.
Cara, thank you so much. Keep up the great work, all right? We really
Thanks for having me, Cliff.
Listen, a pleasure. And
thank you.
You're more than welcome. And, Doc, you want to close us out?
Oh, no. It was a very good discussion. And we will work through the things that we sort of have in place right now. And I think that we can always solve these problems. But what it takes is a real, you know, reality check and to say that they exist and we need to work on them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
of course, you've been familiar with this for a long time.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're always pleased to have Dr. Damon Arnold with us, and we'll be talking with him later also. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1680 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. It is, of course, December 7th, and we'll be back with more in just a moment. We have a great subject to talk about, and we want you to stay right here with us.